Got it.
All right. Good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, April 30th, 2025, and this is the collective bargaining session between the United Faculty of Florida, UCF chapter, and the team representing the UCF Board of Trustees. The first thing we'll do this morning is take a look at the minutes from our March 26th session. Those are being displayed right now. Robert, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm good with these.
Anybody else have any comments on these minutes?
Looks good to me.
Thank you, Talat. All right, I think we will take those as approved. And then the next thing that we want to talk about, actually, Robert, I know you've been very eager to read those minutes. You mentioned to us a couple of weeks ago that even before we could respond to your proposal one for Article 32, you were coming with proposal two. And
yes,
it's been difficult for us to sleep, you know, wondering what it's going to look like. But please go ahead and share with
all
us.
All right. Because I want you to get some sleep, Chuck. You look like
thank you.
You can use some. All right. Let me share the screen. This is going to be really quick, by the way, too. And I think this is actually sort of, if you want to think of it as a companion or, you know, another way to get at what we were trying to get at with the first proposal, when we went back and talked about it as a team, you know, we thought, well, maybe there's another option here that we can offer and give you a choice, right? Who doesn't want choices, right? So we're offering you a choice here, Chuck. So this, what we did with this version is we just cut out instructor and lecturer to say, well, if, you know, we only have two classifications that exist in the glossary, none of the other classifications exist in the glossary. Maybe the way to get at what you are trying to achieve would be just to strip the two classifications that exist. And then, you know, we don't have to bargain over classifications in glossaries and hold up anything that might be internal to you all. That is it, Chuck.
Can you scroll down?
I can tell I'm going to sleep much better tonight.
Oh, yeah. And we accepted, right. We accepted your
that change.
Quotes.
59.
Yeah, we accept that change. Right. So I want to be on record for the Guinness Book of World Records for the shortest presentation of an article at a bargaining session. I think merits this, right?
Okay. Now you put the pressure on us. I would like to take a brief caucus and talk to my team. This is an interesting proposal you put before us, and we just like to take 5 minutes
right.
tops.
I can stop sharing then.
Yes, you may stop sharing. Thank you.
You will have to email it to me though, please.
I will email it to you right now. How's that?
All right, BOT team, can we go to our caucus room, please?
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to pause the recording, everybody.
Thank you. Robert, appreciate your patience on this one. We gladly agree to your number two. And I got to tell you how our team works. We were actually prepared to propose precisely the same thing. And my general counsel told me I should reject yours and then present mm-hmm. ours. But I said, no, Craig, we're not going to do it.
Because you like to hear me talk, right, Chuck?
Craig likes to talk, too.
No, so thank you, Robert. Okay. That's a great proposal. We'll get the documents ready for signatures very, very soon.
All right.
So thank you very much.
So this leads me to another question then, Chuck. Are we going to ratify as we pass, or are we going to ratify everything at one time?
We do it all at one time.
All right.
We'll sign everything as we do it, as T8 articles, and then sure. We'll ratify it at the end. Unless you want to have a separate vote.
No.
For each article.
I don't think there's urgency in the definition.
No.
Right?
No. I think we're good. So thank you very much. That's terrific. So I sent you the agenda that we had proposed. It is no longer appropriate that I present our version 2 of Article 32 because it's identical to yours. So thank you. We would like to take a moment and respond to the proposal that you shared with us last time on the MOU dealing with clock pauses. And where do I have this? We appreciate you sharing that draft MOU with us. After it was shared with us, I had a very good conversation with Provost Johnson about it. And you know, what I can tell you is that you know, both the bargaining unit and university leadership sees that changes in federal funding may end up impacting the trajectory of some employees' work. That's certainly possible. With regard to the tenure-earning employees that are addressed in the MOU, our position is that there's an appropriate mechanism that's already in place to request a tenure clock adjustment. There's a form that is found on the Faculty Excellence website. It's called the Tenure Clock Adjustment Form. That's been there. That's what people customarily use to request an adjustment in the tenure clock. That's still there. If there would be somebody that would encounter significant challenges as a result of some changes to their funding, I think that form is ready to be used. The reason that would probably be given is other. And the form says that, you know, supporting documentation should be attached. And that would go to the provost's office, and the provost's office would make a decision on the tenure clock adjustment. And with regard to post-tenure review, the university is constrained by state law and Board of Governors regulation on the timing of post-tenure review. So we don't think it's really possible for us to change that. However, in the policy that we have on post-tenure review, there is a provision for exceptions to the post-tenure review timing. And it says that an exception may be granted by the provost for what it calls extenuating or unforeseen circumstances. So again, we think both for tenure earning employees that are looking at preparing their tenure dossier and tenured employees who are preparing a post-tenure review dossier, we think that there are already very appropriate timing adjustment mechanisms that are in place. And we think that implementing additional mechanisms may cause some unneeded confusion for employees, since there already are appropriate mechanisms in place. Which one do I use if I'm a candidate for tenure? Do I use the Faculty Excellence Form, or do I go through whatever might be in this MOU? Do I have to apply for both? We just think there could be some confusion. And we think that we're grateful that you shared this proposal with us, because it gave us a chance to review the current mechanisms that we have in place for timing adjustments and assess their suitability. And we think the mechanisms that are in place are good, and they could be used. They're available to anybody who thinks that they ought to be considered for some kind of a clock adjustment, whether that's post-tenure review or tenure. And the university is satisfied that employees have ample opportunities to request the adjustments to the timing of their dossiers, whether it's for promotion or post-tenure review. And we think we're good as is, and we appreciate the chance to be a little bit introspective about these clock adjustment mechanisms that are in place over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, we're at a place where we're very comfortable where they are. And, you know, maybe we all need to do a good job reminding people that there is a tenure clock adjustment form that's available that people can use. And the policy on post-tenure review also has a provision that employees can request a change in the timing of post-tenure review. In all cases, there's some, you know, documentation that would be required. But even with what you're proposing, there's documentation that's required. Folks have to make sure it's clear why they're making that request. So thank you very much for sharing this with us. We appreciate the chance to review it. And it led us to review things that we've been doing for a while. And we're satisfied. We think we're good. And if we have employees who are substantially impacted by changes in funding, we think there's a way to address those individuals. And those ways are already in place. We don't think we need to do anything new. So that's our position on the MOU.
All right. Can I respond with questions then?
Sure.
So some of this you might have to get answers for. Maybe we could return to it at the next session. That's all right. So one is, it depends on the question, right? We'll see. But one is, what actually happens with exceptions to timing of post-tenure review? So someone requests something in regard to their timing. What exactly happens as a consequence to a request to timing that is approved?
There are people that have been notified in the spring that they're up for post-tenure review in the fall. They have an opportunity, I think it's 30 days in the policy, to contact the provost office, say, I would appreciate moving my post-tenure review to the following year, and here are the reasons why. Things that are talked about as appropriate reasons for adjusting the timing of post-tenure review, or somebody had some sort of approved leave for more than 160 hours in a semester during the review period. That would push that a year into the future. There are some people who are identified as being up for post-tenure review, and they've already submitted their retirement paperwork, or they're in the T2RP program, and they're excused. But as long as there's a firm retirement date in place, they don't go through post-tenure review. So those are a couple of examples of where this is done.
So my question was the timing thing. So you answered it in that requesting a timing is requesting a delay, right? So it could delay a year, right? That's what I was getting at. But my other question, and you got a little bit of it here, but I'd like you, if you could expand, if not, maybe come back at the next session with specific information. How many timing requests have been made for post-tenure review, and how many timing requests have been granted?
I will have to get back to you on that. Because I know you may be prone to bad sleep like I am. I can tell you a little bit. I think for the coming year, there were 25 to 30 requests for delay. I think.
Well, how many? 100 people go up a year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's like 25%, or almost, well, over 25%.
I think this year there was about 150 that were on the
okay
I'll get all those numbers. Okay. I'm right on the order of magnitude. I may not be right on all the.
Sure. And then one more request for numbers. How many people with grants, research grants, have been impacted by federal intervention since January of this year? And then bring that back to the next session and we can talk about this a little bit more.
Assuming that that information is collectible.
Yeah, I can try to get that from the Office of Research. That's not something that we
I'm assuming it's something you all know, right? It's a knowable. It's a knowable piece of data, right?
Well, I'm gonna try to get it for you.
All right.
If very it good.
I don't know it today.
All right, Talat has her hand up.
Just since you're talking about timing, one question, and I know there's been back and forth with Joel Kramer as well. And the question is this, that supposing if someone got promoted in August of 2021, so let's say that they were promoted from associate to full professor in August of 2021, when would they be eligible for post-tenure review? Our calculation says it would be 2026. Apparently, UCF is saying it's fall 2025. So could you get a clarification? Because I know this has been something that's been going on at several places. It's a question of what we mean by 5 years.
I will give you an explanation. I had many conversations about this very point with Dr. Jasinski when she was here. Excuse me. And I've had a number of conversations with Dr. Kramer. Excuse me. And here's the rationale for why the person would go up in 2025, in the fall of 2025, because the promotion dossier that was approved in the spring of 2021, the person is promoted in the fall of 2021. What was in that dossier, what they were evaluated on, was everything that they put together by August of 2020. So the work that they did from August 2020 through July 2021 has not been evaluated. And that's why it's evaluated in that first post-tenure review. Now, admittedly, there are some articles that somebody may get published and they make additions to their dossier during the year, but things like teaching and service haven't been evaluated at all during that promotion year, except for the annual evaluation for that year, 2021. But that's the thinking. There's a year where the person's dossier is being evaluated based on things that happened prior to the submission of the dossier.
So let me then ask you this. Supposing that they published papers after August of 2020, and they did then, you know, people update their folder until almost till April because they can, right? Would those publications or any activity, any scholarly activity that they did in that period count now towards PTR, or would it be said that no, that you've already presented that? See, because people didn't know at that time, right? We didn't know about PTR. Would those doc, you know, for example, somebody got nominated to something really important, right? And they went and updated their folder. Now, that was in, say, in January of 2021. According to what you're saying, that should really be included now in the PTR package as fresh material.
Well, I want to be really careful that there's some sticky areas here now.
Right.
Let's look at the example of the paper that gets published in September of 2020. Okay, we add that to the file, and I would argue that's appropriate because all the work that went into that paper was done before August of 2020.
No, that's but you know, but you know, somebody got selected to National Academy. Okay. They got selected in April of 2021. Now, you know, the problem is that this is, you know, unless you allow all that material, because when we're talking about PTR, we do want 5 years of material there. And if you're not going to allow that, then we have to rethink that these things a little bit.
I'm not saying what's allowed and what isn't allowed in the PTR. I'm explaining to you why we say someone who is promoted, the promotion becomes official on August 8th, 2021, goes through promotion or post-tenure review beginning in the fall of 2025. That's what I want to answer.
Sure. So basically,
if somebody gets National Academy, I think post-tenure review is the least of their worries.
So Chuck, I want to make sure we stick to bargaining stuff. Maybe we can conversation to a different time.
Sure.
It's not like we're trying to hide anything, but it's not really bargaining.
Sure. Agreed.
I hope that was helpful nevertheless, Talat. I hope we said something.
No, it's good because this is something we've been asked a lot. So it's good to know where you're coming from. Right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. And then I'd like to just make some brief comments about the proposal that you shared with us for Article 20. We've had some good discussions about Article 20, and we appreciate that you shared it with us. You got us thinking, you got us talking about it. We're also in the process of reviewing what some other institutions do and just seeing if there's some other idea that we want to try to incorporate into Article 20, and we don't have a solution. But you know, one thing I wanted to mention this morning is one of the things that you proposed in Article 20 was to extend the deadlines for submission of a step one grievance and a step two grievance. And we're not prepared to respond on those right now, but I can say that moving those submission deadlines actually provided some food for thought for us. And it's really stimulating some thinking. So don't know what we're going to do. Don't know how we're going to respond on those deadlines, but we do appreciate that it's been motivating us to think creatively and think about some things that hadn't occurred to us before. So we're still working on Article 20, and hopefully we'll have something for you next time when we get together. But thank you for sharing that with us. We appreciate it.
All right, Chuck.
And then, Robert, I'm not sure if the light sleep I had last night was because of Article 32 and not knowing what your Proposal 2 would look like, or what your Proposal 1 would look like for Article 23. So I think it's time for us to see what you've got for 23.
I'm certain R23 is going to create agita with the dean, with the provost. I'm certain of that. But I'll put it up here. Again, we like to, you know, start off these bargaining sessions, or at least early in these sessions, we like to introduce our Article 23. So in keep with tradition, we will do that. And I'm going to share the screen here. And what I've done is I've just highlighted the changes we made. So I'll just talk about the changes and the rationale for the changes. And if you have any questions, be more than happy to answer them if I can. What went into our philosophy to Article 23 here was the fact that I don't think I'm the person on the bargaining team that's been here the longest, but I'm one of the top two probably. So I've been here since 2003, and I remember before 2008 when we used to have decent percentage raises regularly. And since 2008, I don't think we can characterize our raises as approaching that type of description. And it's really kind of eaten into the, you know, the lives of the people we represent, the bargaining unit. They've been suffering because their salary compensation has not been outmatching the cost of living and the rate of inflation. And so we would like this, we would like you all to consider this as a way to rectify that and to kind of get us back on the path of, you know, what raises were like before 2008. And so what we have here in the promotion increases, we went to what other universities had, and we noticed that a few of them have 12% promotion increases. So we put that here under the promotion increase, we raised these to 12%. And a one-time payment, we kept the schedule that you had. We like that, but we changed the payment amounts, and these are lower than what we had in the last Article 23. And the reason for that is we are hoping that you all will agree to this early so we don't have to keep extending the amount of the one-time payment to make up for the time that we are busy bargaining over salaries. So that is there, and that's the rationale for that. Okay, and merit salary increase, we are asking for an 8% increase to base salary for everybody with a satisfactory or higher, and we think that's going to go a long way to rectify what I described earlier, pre-2008 and post-2008, for those of us that have been here this long and have experienced this attrition of our financial well-being. Okay, we also talked a great deal about equity increases, and we know we did this in 2016. I believe that was the year when we brought everybody up to, I believe, 47%. And so this equity increase here is meant to bring folks up, those that have a terminal degree and those that do not, up to $55,000 and $65,000, and then I guess another $10,000 more if they're 12-month, they're on 12-month contracts. So this is a way to kind of get at salary attrition since 2016, because we noticed since 2016 there are people making less than $47,000. When in 2016 we had a part of Article 23 that lifted everybody up to 47,000. So this is meant to address that.
Robert, before you go away from that, I just wanted to make sure. So I noticed you say 12-month salary there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there some sort of differentiation for 9 months that I'm not?
We might be using the term 12-month contract instead. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, Charlie? I mean, there is a difference, I think, but I just wanted to know what the thought was.
Yeah, I just stripped the language from the 2016 contract, and that was what was in the 2016 contract. The language has changed or it has a different meaning now. Please, feel free to correct that. But this is, again, the language from the 2016 contract with, you know, updated for the time and the figures that we're looking at for this one.
Thank you.
So again, if the language has changed as far as the meaning of 12 month, then, you know, just point that out.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, and post-tenure review. We've changed the amounts of post-tenure reviews. So for exceeds expectation, we went to 5,000. For meets expectation, we went to 3, but we want them both as base pay increases, not as one-time payments. And it covers the 2 years of post-tenure review. We've increased the number of incentive awards to 135. 65 in tip and 70 in rhea. And there's just one last thing here. We want in ADIs, we want 30% of the ADIs reserved exclusively for compression and inversion. In case, you know, lifting people up from this measure, if that's accepted, if it creates some unaccounted for compression and inversion, ADIs could be used to address that.
And that's the totality?
That's all the changes, yeah. Everything else, the language is the same, I believe, from whatever we agreed to in the last 23.
On the incentive awards, you're proposing to increase the total number of incentive awards. It's still a $5,000 payment?
That's correct. That's correct. Okay.
And nothing to the excellence awards?
That is correct. Excellence or the status quo?
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, obviously we can't say
can
much
I stop?
Right now.
Can I stop sharing?
Yes, you can. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. We will look forward to getting a copy of that from you, Robert. And
all right.
Sharing that with the provost and some of the budget folks as well, and we will take a look at it as we. You know, talked about the last time, you know, we'll take a look at it. There may be some trades that, you know, we think are appropriate. We had proposed last time making some changes specifically on the number of incentive awards, because that would provide a way to pay for some of the additional promotion increases. Everything that you proposed is an increase. It's not, we prefer spending the money this way as opposed to some other way. So, you know, we have to take a look at it and see what the fiscal impact would be of this, and then what's doable. And, you know, as soon as we're able to, we will get back to you. It may be a couple months before we have any kind of numbers where we're able to respond, but this is helpful to know what you're thinking. We appreciate you sharing that with us, and it gives us something to work on immediately.
Right.
I already received a copy. Thank you.
Okay.
Wow, that was good. Thank you, Robert.
All right. Anything else on the agenda?
I think our next meeting is scheduled for May 14th.
All right.
Sounds is that good. Date still good for you, Robert?
There was something I think so. It's there may be a very slim possibility I'll be out of town that day, but like I said, it's slim. I don't think it'll happen, so let's plan for the 14th.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. I think we've accomplished everything for today.
All right.
Thank you all very much, and for our faculty who are about to turn in their grades pretty soon, I guess, hope you get a chance to get a little break as well.